From the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida, welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, Larry Kay from the Ho-Chunk Nation, along with Gary Wilcox from the Powhatan Nation. Joining us today is Jolene Brown, the president of Native Hoop Magazine. Since its inception, Native Hoop has been a powerful platform dedicated to amplifying Indigenous voices, celebrating cultural diversity, and preserving traditions across Turtle Island. Jolene has made it her mission to shine a light on the strength and beauty of Indigenous communities. We're honored to have her here and share her journey and the incredible work she's doing to uplift Native voices. All this and more, but first, the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A federal court has temporarily halted the federal government's plan to transfer Oak Flat, a tribal sacred site in Arizona, to Resolution Copper. The transfer was expected to take place as early as June. Apache Stronghold, a coalition of Apache people, other Native people, and non-Native allies, filed an emergency request to halt the transfer while the Supreme Court considers the case. That request was granted Friday. The coalition has been fighting the land transfer for years, saying the copper mine threatens religious freedom, while Resolution Copper has touted jobs and an economic impact. New Mexico and Colorado recently created alerts for missing Indigenous people. Now Arizona is poised to join them with its own turquoise alert. As Gabriel Pietrazio reports for the Mountain West News Bureau, a legislative bill awaits the governor's signature.
The House will now proceed to vote.
Had the turquoise alert already been law, Republican bill sponsor Teresa Martinez says it could have helped find 14-year-old San Carlos Apache Emily Pike.
Not only was she killed, but she was dismembered. And it breaks my heart that we, the state of Arizona, didn't even go looking for this little girl.
Another supporter is House Democrat Myron Soce from the Navajo Nation. He remembers 11-year-old Ashlyn Mike, who also went missing. Her 2016 death aided in bringing Amber Alerts to Indian Country.
This is for Shiyaja Emily Pike. This is for Shiyaja Ashlyn Mike and many others who are still missing. This is for you.
Gabriel Pietrazio, Phoenix.
Native experts in foraging for traditional foods are sharing some of their recommendations. Chuck Kornbach of Station WUWM reports.
In Papago Park, east of Phoenix, Twyla Cassador points to the base of a Palo Verde tree where small branches, dried leaves, and other plant matter have formed the ground nest of a desert wood rat. Cassador says the rodent is both a source of nutrition and knowledge.
And many of us may not think much about the desert wood rat, but as people that study environmental science or engineering, this friend of ours, also a delicious friend, will tell us about climate change.
Cassador is a traditional food forager and educator with the San Carlos Apache tribe. She explains to a tour organized by the Society of Environmental Journalists that other researchers have found that as the planet warms, the wood rat uses larger plant material to shade or insulate its home. But where the rat is plentiful, as it is here in the Sonoran Desert, it can also be a source of what Cassador calls pre-reservation food, food from before the years when the U.S. government forced Native people away from their longtime homes.
They took everyone away from the landscape where they originally foraged from and hunted from.
Helping Cassador with the effort to discover more traditional foods is Jeffrey Lazos Ferns, a naturalist and member of the Pascua Yaqui tribe. He points to blossoms and seeds on the Palo Verde tree.
These flowers, you can make tea out of them. Also, the pods, which you maybe see on some of the more younger trees out here, they taste like edamame, so you can eat them fresh off the tree. Or you can peel them, boil them, put salt on them, or store them for the season that you actually do want to use them.
Lazos Fern says some larger cities like Tucson have started to plant more indigenous plants that need less water or no fertilizer and be a source of food or medicine. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Kornbach.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
DT Track, your healthcare partner across Indian Country, supports this show. DT Track provides culturally competent nationwide healthcare staffing to IHS, tribal, and urban health facilities. More at dt-track.com.
Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for over 40 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
From the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida, welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, Gary Wilcox, and joining me today, Larry Kay. How's it going, Larry?
I'm doing well over here in Bradenton, Florida. How you doing over there?
We're doing great. We're doing great.
Today we welcome Jolene Brown. She's coming to us from Watertown, South Dakota, president of Native Hoop Magazine. Hello, Jolene, and welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes, a pleasure.
Jolene.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Well, why don't we get started? Jolene, why don't we start with, why don't you share the story behind the founding of Native Hoop Magazine and what's inspired you to start this journey?
Actually, I'm not the founder. The founder is James Morales, and he founded it back in 2009. I came aboard about 2011. And on our website, you'll see the first issue. That's when I came aboard. I don't have access to anything prior. I started running it around 2016, and then I took over in 2018 when James stepped down. And I've been running it ever since.
Wow. Did you stumble, or how did you run into the folks?
Actually, I got hired as a graphic designer.
Oh, nice.
Somehow, I ended up running it.
Wow, how cool. And you're doing
a great job.
Yes, yes.
So what's the mission statement of Native Hoop Magazine, and how has it evolved over the years?
Promoting our people in a positive way, and it's kind of been that way the whole time. It has shifted. Well, it used to be open to like a wider variety of things, which we still are, but my focus is more now we want to pick individuals to put on the cover, not just events and powwows. We want like real people that are doing things.
That's how cool. That's how we got the show going right here. The Shakers and the Makers. Right on. What challenges have you faced in growing Native Hoop Magazine, and how did you overcome them?
The biggest challenge is going our own nonprofit, because I had no clue what I was doing. So that has been the biggest challenge, changing things. And when you take over something, you're pretty much starting anew and creating, you know, making sure everybody who you get it out there to the right people, so everybody can spread it and share it. And we just keep going. I don't even worry about some of the stuff now. I just like, okay, well, next. let's move on.
Why do you think it's important to have media platforms that are dedicated to amplifying Indigenous voices and stories?
Oh, my goodness. All forms of media, voices, stories, any kind of Indigenous anything. Talk shows, movies, TV, news, like what we do, I all of it is important, because mainstream is just slowly picking it up, but it's still skewed to the mainstream's view, not our own views, like Indian Country Today and Native News Online, and those are just the big ones, you know, and there's a lot of other ones. All of it is important, because it gives us different areas to uplift the people and their voices.
Does Native Hoop Magazine collaborate with Indigenous artists and writers and the Indigenous communities?
Oh, yes. As much as I can. My goal is to have something from every tribe, but that is really hard to get into some. But I'm willing. I mean, when I first started, it was like 40 pages. And then we were doing three articles from everybody. And then it went down to two articles. And this issue that will be coming out is our first time down to one article, so we could open up more room for more Indigenous writers, artists, anything that want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you write all of your own articles, or do people submit?
People submit.
Oh, nice.
Any Native American in the United States and Canada can submit an article as long as it follows our three rules. Number one, no ceremonies of any kind. Number two, no bashing of somebody. And number three, we don't want the New Age aspect. We want to keep this as grassroots as possible.
Yes, yes. I get happy when I see our people becoming successful. Have you always known you had entrepreneur in your blood?
I've had a business before years ago when the economy crashed the first time, in the last 20 years. And then I don't look at it as an entrepreneurial, more of I love to help the people, and this is my way to help the people.
Sure. Your passion. Run
it. Yeah.
Well, me and Larry are entrepreneurs. Can you share with us a successful entrepreneur story? One that you can speak of?
Woke Soap.
Woke Soap. Nice name.
I think Woke Soap is like her website's buysoapnotdope.com.
Right on.
Nice.
She has started from nothing, was living on the streets the first time I met her, and she has just drastically improved. And she's, kind of fallen, but she doesn't have anybody to, usually back her up. I support her as much as I can, but you can only do as much, as you can. And she has literally made it from nothing to an entire business. And I think people like her needs the encouragement and things. Any Indigenous person that's just starting out.
Yes.
I think that this, oh man, there's so many now. I got like all kinds of them coming in. So Woke Soap is one of them.
Sure.
And then Native Analytics. It's a young Oglala man. He just started doing analytics, and he was working for some major organizations, and then he decided to go off onto his own.
Mm-hmm.
There's them. There's Native Voices United. Heritage Crane Group. There's a whole bunch. I could go on.
Right on. How about a sports story? Who's been there and done that?
Oh, I don't have a whole lot of sports aspect. It's really hard to get into them, into any of the sports aspects. If I see something, I try to promote it.
Sure.
From IndianSports.com or any of those organizations or individual people's. They'll show me like the stampede or the horse racing, and I'll share as much as I can, but trying to get into those people. And usually when I see information, it's during their busy time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard for me to get into them.
We're going to take a short music break, and we will be right back. Today, our guest is Jolene Brown, president of Native Hoop Magazine. With a passion for storytelling and advocacy, Jolene has made it her mission to shine a light on the strength and beauty of Indigenous communities. Find out all about them at their place on the web at nativehoop.org.
We're kids. Yeah. Shuka, ta shuka, wasowe likuti, yakudet, yakuwa da, where kuwa kan, where kuwa kan, wah. Nuch de yan chagat, singit la go, zu ha chat kukon, we git has ya wako. Nuch de yan chagat, singit la go, zu ha chat kukon, we git has ya wako.
What role does cultural preservation play in your work that you do through Native Hoop?
One of the biggest ones, I think, I will have to say, is no ceremonies, because I do not want any of our ceremonies publicized by anybody, because the misappropriation and things that happen out in Indian country, from outsiders looking, right. You know, hey, mm-hmm. Oh, I can do that. No. So our biggest thing is, let's protect, you know, our ceremonies and protect our people and every tribe.
Yeah.
Well, right.
This question kind of goes with that. How do you approach covering sensitive topics and controversial issues within the indigenous communities?
Well, as long as it's not ceremonies.
Right.
we are open to publish any of those topics. We will put a, you know, hey, warning above it. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, if somebody who's dealing with I have had somebody who dealt with domestic violence share her story with the photos, which were pretty sensitive topic. There was also a young man in a his last name was Six Killer, did, and his stuff is involving domestic violence, but more from the counseling aspect, from the abuser side, and the things that they're doing to help combat domestic violence in that side. There's so many aspects. I don't have an issue putting it out there if somebody wants to put their story out.
Nice.
I won't force anybody, but I'm open to, I've had many women come to me and say, I'd like to share my story. And one of them has been, we've been following it for almost a year now.
Wow. How do you ensure Native Hoop is accessible to the communities, especially those that are deep in the rural areas of Indian Country?
The only thing you pay for is the print, because, you know, it costs for paper, ink, so on and so forth, and shipping. We usually, we have two online ways that are free to publish it. So that way anybody in the rural area could download it if they want and then go back home and look it up and read on their thing, their tablet or their phone. The email version is you just email us your, you know, hey, I'd like to be a part of the email, and it's a free monthly subscription.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Nice.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Tell us about what's happening in your current issue and how can we get a subscription?
Well, send us an email.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you can get on the subscription list and it'll come straight to your email in a PDF form. This month, we're focusing on the indigenous firefighters.
Oh, nice.
In California.
Mm-hmm.
We all know the big ones like the Navajo Nation's fire and their hotshot crew and the Apache hotshot crews. But there's some other ones like Chiloquin and Klamath and Yurok that are not as well known.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to collect all the information from all the tribes that we could find that are out there. And you'll see the Klamath will be on our cover this month, because we felt that since they don't get enough media, we're going to start, you know, put that out there. So we focused mostly on the firefighters this month and all the amazingness of all of them that we could find information and photos on.
What do you have to do to be on the cover?
Mm-hmm. We don't, our cover's kind of fallen. We don't go out of our way to like find a cover other than like I have an April one coming that I have been following this woman since she started from issue 49 of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been following her for years. And every time I went to go put her into the magazine, like something had happened, one of her babies passed away or they were in a car accident. So I've been like holding off because I don't want to bombard her during these times. And I finally got a hold of her. I'm like, I really want you into the magazine. You know, to me, she's a beacon of strength to continue to do what she's doing. And I'm just so impressed with this woman who has handled all of these things so gracefully. I'm just so astonished.
Uh-huh.
What are the hopes for the future of Native Hoop Magazine? Are there any new initiatives or projects that are on the horizon?
Man. That goes back to, I have so many ideas, I'm not sure where to start or how to bring them all to fruition.
Sure.
I know I have some ideas here in South Dakota of like a railway system from Rapid City side to Sioux Falls side. Because I think it would be extremely beneficial, not just for natives, but for everybody in South Dakota, because that's a 5-hour drive going back and forth, and some people's cars just can't do it. And I think a rail system would be absolutely wonderful. They have one in New Mexico called the Rail Runner that goes to the north, and people get on and ride it all the way to like Albuquerque from Taos and back to work and things. And I think we need something like that here in South Dakota.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember at the Sundance going to the nearest store was a 40-minute drive. I was like, dang.
Sure.
Yes, it is.
So this past year, do you focus more on entrepreneurs or sports, or what's your main focus?
My main focus is anybody and anything Native American, First Nations, whether they do sports, they do Shoot, there's so many areas I could not focus on just one.
Sure. So
I want to cover everybody.
Yeah, if you got a good story, go ahead and submit it right on. And
exactly.
And how do we do that? We go to your website, or can we email you?
You can go straight to the website, and then the email will come straight to me.
Right on. Jolene, do you have any advice for new and upcoming entrepreneurs who are thinking about starting their own business?
Don't let nobody tell you you can't do it. Do it anyways.
Right.
Even if you don't know, fail. Fail a billion times, but don't give up.
I love it. Salute. You know, a lot of us natives, we don't have a series of entrepreneurs in our blood. So we have to ride the hard road. So we have to learn the hard way. And, you know, we're set up for failure unless you got a mentor to begin with. So if you got a successful business, feel free to mentor the next one who needs help.
Well, that's kind of, Native Hoop has an option, you know, it's been open for a long time, but we never pushed it. If somebody wants to start a magazine, we're willing to help them start their own magazine. If they want to know about, let's say, analytics. Okay, I have the perfect person here. Go over here to Native Analytics, and I will let that person know ahead of time, hey, you know, I'm sending this person your way that wants to learn these things. I try to make sure when we work with people, that are open to do as much as they can in that aspect. Because, just like you said, you know, not everybody has that option. So Native Hoop's not a handout. It's just a hand up.
Yes.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jolene, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I have learned a lot. And like I said, I'm definitely going to shoot you an email. I'd like to learn more about the magazine. It's been an awesome.
Yes, Jolene, thank you. Yes. I'm happy to have you on today and learn all about the great stories and all the great work you're providing for our communities. Let's stay in touch.
All right, definitely.
Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our engineer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. Come visit us at indigenousinmusicandarts.org to hear all of our past shows and learn all about the great programs that we provide. Music today was from Koo Eek from Seattle, Washington. Indigenous in the News is a production of Indigenous in Music and Arts. Until next time, from all of us here at Indigenous in the News, have yourself a wonderful week and safe journeys.